Good afternoon. Welcome to episode 5.
Is it 5 already?
Yeah.
How lovely.
Hugh Grundy podcast. Welcome everybody who's listening.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to you all.
And again, another beautiful day in Menorca. Actually, 24 degrees it said today.
Yeah, it was
temperature gauge in the car.
Pretty hot.
With a breeze.
Very pleasant.
Yes.
I see the blossom on your tree over there, and delightful it is.
Yeah, it'll all be on the floor by the end of this, probably, won't it? Something you just mentioned before we went on was it is today that the Zombies album is released.
Yes, it is. It's we mentioned their latest album called Different Game.
Yeah.
And we went through the cover and why that was like that.
The broken down van, wasn't it?
Yeah, van. Exactly. And funnily enough, I saw a picture of Soren Koch, who is their bass player, and they've just come off the blues cruise, and he was a picture of himself, selfie taken at Barcelona Airport, where he was waiting for his flight back to Denmark.
Right.
So, and he said, and funnily enough, it's today that the album is released. So,
very good.
Different Games released today.
Excellent. I might even buy it on vinyl, I thought, because they've released it on all formats. I think they might even have released it on cassette, which seems to be something they're doing. A lot of them
is that so?
I don't know who owns a cassette player to listen to.
Who owns a cassette player?
So last episode we just started touching on how you got to Menorca, and didn't you work out it was 12 years?
It's 11 years we've been here.
Yeah.
On the 1st of May.
Okay.
But we've owned the property in Namacaret,
yes,
which is on the north coast there. We've owned that for probably 2 or 3 years beyond that. So,
oh, okay. 11, so you had a 14. Place here first before you decided to move here?
Yes, we did. We used to have it looked after, and we did rent it out. And then obviously we used to come over and stay there ourselves.
Right.
Until we took the final decision to come and move to Menorca in total. And that was because we'd both lost our parents. Our children were of an age that they were off and up around the world.
Yeah.
One was in Dubai, one had gone to South Africa, and so on.
Yes.
So it just seemed like a good thing to do because we did love the place.
Yeah.
My wife, Tracy's brother, lives here and has done for quite a lot longer than that.
Yes.
And, of course, we used to come over and visit him and just fell in love with the place.
I think
what's not to?
Most people, it's one or the other, isn't it? They either get it or
is.
They don't.
It's Marmite.
Yes, it really is. I mean, when we moved, or we considered it, my wife's mother said, you've got to go in the winter because that's the... If you can cope with it being
happy,
so
then,
quiet,
mm-hmm.
and I... That's when I fell in love with it because...
And I took that on board, exactly that.
Yeah.
But we went to Mercadale quite a lot.
Yes.
And I can see us now, a pair of us sitting outside what is now Canbet, right in the square, in the middle of Mercadale. And, I teared up a wee bit and said, I want to live here.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, we are.
Yeah, and we did the same. And... Our kids have got so much freedom, and we're going to make people jealous, aren't we, living in grey old England, I'm afraid.
I'm afraid. Sorry about that, Pete.
Yeah, and I do miss England for some things. I can't deny that.
No,
you know,
of course, absolutely.
Family, more than anything, I suppose.
Yeah, all my family now are back in England in various places. One's down Cornwall, one lives in Kent, and my daughter who lives in Kent is just... gone out on tour with Matt Goss.
That's right, she's a photographer, isn't she?
Official photographer for Matt Goss.
Paley Photography, it is.
Paley Photography, well worth a mention.
A little plug,
They do weddings and school photos.
They
and
took
stuff
photos
like
of us, didn't they?
And they did.
They did.
Took photos
Some
of
great
us.
Great photos.
She also took photos of us as the Zombies in St Albans when we were there
a while ago.
And they appear all over the place.
That was the... That was the blue plaque, wasn't it? Was that when they put the plaque up
right.
in the pub?
That's right. We went up there and we stood outside underneath it, and she took photos of us there.
Remind me again, what's the pub called?
The Blacksmith's Arms.
You decided to call yourself the Zombies, or you...
I don't think it was there. It was some other pub, some other drunken
night.
So
what was the connection to that pub?
The reason being is it was a place to meet before we walked down to the... A Pioneer Youth Club, which we've mentioned before, where it really all started with Jim's cousin.
So it was
Jim Rofford.
It was the first meeting of the
it
band.
It was the first meeting, and the first meeting with Colin.
Right.
And we've gone through that where he turned up with blasters all over his
face. That's right.
A little bit scary.
Yeah. So, going back to Menorca.
Okay. So we moved here.
You'd sold your drums.
I'd sold the drums, but for whatever reason, and there must have been something in the back of my mind, maybe it's a case of, well, you should never sell your cymbals and you should never sell your snare drums.
No.
And I didn't.
Yeah.
And I took them with me. And, of course, all the hardware I had then, I brought that with me as well. Just because I did. End of. I thought to myself, here I am. I've done all my playing. I've been happy with what I've done. We've just done the tours and so on. We've just done Shepherd's Bush Empire, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, that's it. That'll do nicely.
And so at this point, we'll mention Mick, our guitarist and good pal.
Mm-hmm.
You met in a curry house or something like that, didn't
you? We did. And the reason we met in that particular curry house in Adair is because there they had internet.
Right.
We didn't have internet at our place in Namakaret.
Yes.
But they did have it there. So what used to happen is we used to go there, pass by sort of on our way home, and Tracy would check emails and do the various things that needed to be done on the iPad. But of course, this couple were sat at the bar, just them, only two, and us two.
Yeah.
And they were, Alison, bless her heart, was at happy. She was in a happy place.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yes. And she'd had a few couple of drinks.
She'd had a couple, and bless her heart, nothing's changed there either. But she won't mind me saying
it,
I'm sure.
No. Life and soul of the party, definitely.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. So we got talking. And it became apparent that Mick was a musician and she was a singer in a band called Spam.
That's right.
Which was the South Park...
Son Park.
Sorry, Son Park Amateur Musicians.
Right.
And they said, oh, no, we often do jam sessions. He said, you should come along and maybe sit in.
That's right.
And I thought, well... shall I? Shan't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go down.
Be sociable.
Chat to him. A lot of chat. And be sociable. Let's go and see what happens. And I thought this was lovely. It was just such a lot of fun.
So there would have been a kit set up.
Yes, there was a kit.
That sort of thing.
I think the drummer at the time was Israel. Israel, Spanish guy. A very talented man too, for that matter.
Yeah.
Writes songs and can play the piano and so on and so forth.
Of course.
Of course, the other main man, who was the organiser and would get the people up to sing or play guitar or whatever, was a man called Jason McMurray.
Yes.
Who I then got to know, and got to know very, very well.
Yep.
He had moved out from England. He'd sold his business and he bought a nice villa here. And I think, he won't mind me saying, but he was floundering about a little bit. He was, in a way, too young to retire.
Yeah.
He needed something to do. So we talked a lot about music and one thing and another. This is before I met Simon, who I'm talking to now, as we know. We talked a lot and we went round his house a few times and one thing and another. And I started talking to him about, you know, you need to do something more with music.
Yeah.
You're too talented not to do something. And he took it on board.
Yeah.
And he eventually turned the back room of his house here into a studio, and set up one of the small rooms next to it as the control room, and we've done quite a lot of recordings.
We really have, yeah. I did come to the launch party he did, which was a great day, and everyone there was James Kirby, another fabulous musician,
another great musician
who's doing great stuff now as well, isn't he? He really is. And it would have been the jam nights got so big, didn't they? They would actually have a coach that came up from Thudadea, which is the north end of the island.
Yes.
And there would be 50 musicians.
They would. They would indeed.
Nearly all guitar players.
Yeah.
there'd be like two bass players and 48 lead guitarists. And a few drummers. A couple of keyboard players.
Yep.
A lot of singers, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Ladies singers who were very good.
Yes, I remember one chap who has left the island and gone back to England. He turned out to be a vocal coach as well.
He was, yes.
His name escapes me for a sec.
Yeah, I'll remember his name in a minute.
Yeah, come in a sec.
I actually saw he's still doing the coaching, and I saw him put something up last night. It'll come to me.
Yeah. And great singer, great rock and roll singer, but he didn't quite have the front for being a front man.
But he had the voice.
He had the voice, and we all thought, wish he could be more, up front. So
more like our good old mate Richard Guyatt.
Yes, who has to get a mention.
Yes.
One of the a great singer for a start.
Yeah, he is,
a great singer, and but a terrific frontman.
He great entertainer.
Put on a great show. Everybody would get up and dance when he was on and singing. Or yeah, great.
And so I think just to bring the timeline together. So I arrived. I know this isn't about me. It's about Hugh Grundy, obviously.
But it's important. Because it's part of it.
The link came where. I'd been in a band called The Special Guests in the UK. The Special Guests Mod Band, we were known as.
Yes.
We were doing Small Faces and The Action and obscure mod music, if you like, and R&B. Mm-hmm. And we would do... we did some Booker T and the MGs. And Enzo, who was a singer, he was the bass player from a band called Squire. And they had a few top 10, 20 hits in the late 70s.
I remember the name.
They toured with The Jam.
Mm-hmm.
The All Mod Cons album, 79, I think they toured with them. And they were due to be a big thing. And then the Scar thing happened with Madness and the Specials. And it just sort of like that thing didn't happen. It fell apart. Long story short, we ended up doing a Jam record for charity. We used one of Paul Weller's studios to record it, and Steve Brooks, who was on the other side of the charity single, Paul Weller had written a song in the 70s called Left, Right and Centre. Steve Brooks had done a song called Feel So Good around the same sort of time.
Right.
So they thought, well, let's put these two songs out that have never been heard, really, unknown Jam records, and we'll release it and we'll get another band to record it. And all the money will go to charity.
Mm.
He chose our band to record it. The day I arrived in Menorca, I flew back to record it.
Mm-hmm.
To cut a long story short, when I ended up, I met Jason's brother, Chris.
Yes.
At the kids' school. And he said, oh, you're Paul Weller's drummer, aren't you? I said, no. Nothing like that. I've just done this single. Funny how the old Chinese whispers of who I was. I said, no, nothing like that. But I'm a drummer, guitarist. He said, you've got to come to these jam nights on the island. My brother organises them. I think by then they started doing them at Dos Pablos in Cullen Porter.
Cullen Porter.
Do you remember when they did it in the restaurant?
I do.
The two Pauls, very nice chaps.
Yes.
And that was my first night. And on the phone, Jason rung me and he said, oh, you've got to come along. It's great. He said, and our house drummer is Hugh Grundy of the Zombies, and I won't swear, but I said no. Really? He said yeah. Oh yeah. So I said to Kim, we've got to go just because I need to meet him. And that was the first time. And if I remember right, there was two drum kits set up. It would have been Ken from Living the Dreams drums.
Yes, Ken Parr.
Good friend. Yeah, and your drums that you were using at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got me up. He made me stay for the majority of the evening.
Yeah.
You don't go nowhere. And we played together, two drums, me and you.
Did we really?
Yeah.
You must have turned the one of them round then too.
I don't think I did. I think, we did. We swapped Ken's, because I'm a left-handed drummer, swapped his kit around. And actually later on, Ken said to me that night, he said, I thought, oh, bloody hell, I've got to turn it all around. But he said, I was double glad we did.
Yeah.
And from that,
and then the friendship started developing.
It began, yeah.
And, absolutely.
And Jason just said to me one day, look, we're forming a band.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a drummer, though. I said, well, funny that. I didn't think you would. But he said, well, do you play guitar? I said, I do, yeah. I said, but what about the other guy, Mick? Well, yeah, I said, I can play bass. Because his daughter Abby was playing bass as well.
Yes, she was. She was.
So that was my introduction, basically. We formed with another lady called Yvonne, who was a singer.
Yeah, she came along a little bit later, I think, at that point. Yvonne Keller, Miss Yvonne Keller.
Yeah.
German lady and...
Good singer.
Good singer.
Yeah.
Just good singer, really.
And that was... Then we went, right, we got to put a name. No one really wanted to do much gigging. I remember that.
Mm.
And I think we started in the Flaming Geckos.
We were the Flaming Geckos. I think I've still got the sticky bits on that came off the bass drum.
And the geckos came from the fact that in Menorca, it's like the national...
It's the national...
The creature. What would you call it? Creature. Mammal?
It's a little lizard, isn't it? It's an indigenous lizard.
Yes.
And they're everywhere. You see them everywhere you go.
Yeah. Through the summer, you see all the little baby ones coming out. Big, very friendly animals,
aren't they? Yeah,
they're not.
They're quite...
So we thought, well, that's a good name.
Yep.
And we started gigging, didn't we?
We did.
It's still going now.
And it's still going now. And we're talking about it even now. This coming year, we've got a gig... gigs at Alex Anchor, which is a restaurant bar in Son Park,
yes,
as is his other restaurant called El Paradiso. I think it's
Paradiso. Like, I think you're right.
And I think we'll be doing more electric there, and we may well do acoustic at Alex Anchor's.
I can't wait.
And we're working on that. We can't wait.
So this timeline then, so at this point we've started playing with Jason, Yvonne was singing, wasn't she? We were gigging quite a lot, if I remember right.
Yes,
we played at the cricket club and
all
around the island. And then you suddenly got a call that America wanted you to come back as the Zombies.
Come back as the Zombies and tour,
2015. It was 2015 because it was an advanced birthday present for my 40th, and I was 40 in 2016.
Right.
And I remember seeing on the news Colin and Rod saying that it's our 50th anniversary of Odyssey and Oracle.
Yep. That's it.
We're going to go out as the original lineup.
Yep.
As without Paul, obviously.
Right. Yep.
But with Steve Rodford as well doing some stuff.
The show. Was the fact that the basis of the show was the first half would be what we now know as the Zombies touring band.
Okay.
And that's the one who have recorded this album, Different Game, and several others before as well.
Yeah.
And lovely, and that's lovely. It really is. It's keeping the name alive, and they're just getting better and better all the time. Yeah. We've just not long since come back from Texas.
Yeah.
In a city called Austin, where they hold what's called the South by Southwest show every year. And it was at their first South by Southwest show that they played that they met their manager, who's looked after them and me and everybody else ever since. And that was the first time they did South by Southwest, and they've done it ever since.
Right. And so when you went out to America as the touring band, they would start the show?
They would start the show and do a lot of the songs... that we had recorded.
Yeah, the early
stuff.
Okay.
And then they do some Argent stuff.
Yeah.
And quite a few other different songs as well.
Some of Colin's stuff. Okay.
Exactly right. Sad to see that the man who did all the strings arrangement on Colin's album One Year.
I saw,
Say You Don't Mind's passed. Yeah. That's really sad.
Yeah, very sad. He was a composer, wasn't he?
He was. He was more an arranger.
Oh, right,
okay. Composer-arranger, if you like. But he'd been on hundreds of records.
So this 50th anniversary tour, it was quite a lengthy tour as well, wasn't it?
It was. I think we were away for a good 6, possibly 7 weeks.
Yeah, I came halfway through it, I think.
I think you came to New York.
I did. I did the New York... what was the name of the place? It was the Art Centre.
The Art Centre, I think it was.
Yeah. Yep. I'll remember that again in a minute as well. That's another one.
Yeah.
And I do remember that it was a fantastic venue and the sound was incredible.
Well, all due credit to a man called Dale Hansen, who is did all the sound then and has done it ever since. And he's really like a fifth or sixth zombie, if you like.
Yeah.
And he knows exactly what the guys need.
If I remember right, it was the New York Society for Ethical Culture was the place that I saw you in.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Got that now.
A big auditorium.
Yes.
I was quite near the front. That was where I managed to get backstage and meet everybody afterwards.
Yes, you did.
I did have a meet and greet ticket, so I met you all first.
Mm-hmm.
I did manage to blag myself into the video for Moving On. if you look on YouTube, there's 2 seconds of me in the video.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Came back, yeah. That's when I met Jim and Colin and Rod and Steve.
Yes.
I don't remember meeting Tom Toomey. Maybe he'd gone off. Oh, no, yeah. I did. I'd met him at the meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
All lovely guys, I have to say. He's very friendly, very, you know. I remember Jim more than anybody, and obviously yourself.
Mm.
And at the end, when you were packing up to go, you were just handing me loads of merch. Have you got that? Have you got one of them? Have you got a T-shirt? Have a take T-shirt. Have you got that album? Take that album. I went home with a good goodie bag of stuff.
Quite right.
But thank you for that, by the way. So the New York Society for Ethical Culture, good 2,000 or 3,000, I would have said, were in there. I remember, I'm pretty sure, at the end of one of the songs, you got a standing ovation that never stopped. And it got, like, well, not embarrassing, but, oh, my God, it's just they just went on and on.
And that, funnily enough, was the as how most of the gigs ended up all across America, to our utter amazement.
It got, like, a bit... I've seen footage where Rod almost, like... He ends up having to tell him to stop almost because...
We're standing there and you're going, this is amazing, absolutely amazing. And at one point, somebody said to me, and it didn't happen there and then, but a while after that, they said, you know what you want to do, Hugh? And I went, what's that? He said, as we're all filing off stage and they're still applauding him, I say, go up and say, you've been fantastic audience. Thank you, Boston, or thank you, Nashville, or wherever we
nice
were.
Nice little touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that used to get a further round of applause.
As long as you can remember what venue you're in and what part of the country you're in.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Where are we again, chaps?
Oh, Nashville.
So, that's 8 years ago already. I mean, scary.
It is.
I remember you came back. Me, you and Jason, I think we went for a beer or we'd done a bit of recording for something. Mm-hmm. We were doing some live demos, weren't we, to get ourselves gigs on the island.
Yes.
And I said to Jason, you know, we ought to write some material of our own. I used to write songs.
Yep.
And Jason was the same. And I said, yeah, I'm quite good at coming up with music, but I'm rubbish at writing lyrics. And I'm good with melodies, but what lyrics, no good. And Jason said, well, I'm great at writing lyrics, but not very good at melodies. Well, and you went, hello.
Hello. I think we've got another Lennon and McCartney here.
Yeah, I wish. But
excuse me. I think some of the songs that you've written and we've recorded are very special.
Thank you. They are. So I think what me and Jason did was one afternoon we said, right, let's get together and let's see if we can write a song in an hour and see if it's rubbish or if it's any good. And that was I'd Do It All Again.
There we are.
And it was literally a blank piece of paper. Probably 45, 50 minutes later, it was complete with all the lyrics. Didn't know whether it was a fluke, you know, because you don't, do you?
No.
We went home and then all evening I had the music going around in my head and I thought, actually, I think this might be quite a good song.
Mm.
Spoke to him the next day. He was the same.
Yeah, I'm very... chuffed and honoured to be the inspiration for it,
which you were,
because
it
was the talk about I Do It All Again means that I was going to go back to America and do it all again
with the lovely the middle eight with the it's the time of the season.
Yes,
we tried to
nod in the direction.
I think what it was also I found that actually writing the music or having an idea made it easier to do because we had a subject matter. Well, let's write about Hugh going off to America again. Suddenly it gave you inspiration.
I think all songwriters will tell you that.
Yeah.
That it's they will see something or they will hear something.
Yeah.
Or they'll hear a phrase.
That's right.
And indeed, Rod will tell you, you can see it in the docu, that his inspiration for She's Not There was... I forget the name of the person it was... But it was...
was it an actor? Or it was in the film?
No, it wasn't. No, it was a singer. And what was the line? Well, no one told me.
All right.
And that was what he said. And that seemed to trip off the tongue lightly.
Yeah.
And he said, I think I could write something around that. And blow me, he did.
Yeah. Again, I listened to an interview with Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was living in... I think he lived in Weybridge in St George's Hill. They'd all bought big houses.
Yep.
But whenever they were recording at Abbey Road, they would stay locally.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to probably rent somewhere. And he said, I used to get picked up by a taxi because it was just a bit too far to walk.
Yeah.
And being a Beatle, I suppose, it was probably safer to get in a taxi. And he said, I got in this taxi one morning and, as you always do, you know, been busy.
Yeah.
And the guy went, oh, 8 days a week at the moment. And he thought, oh, that's a good... and he literally walked into the studio and they wrote eight days a week. That day. And it was an wonderful, inspirational lyric. And again, yeah, our sort of like follow-up. So we released that song, Do It All Again. We did it properly. We joined the Songwriters Guild, me and Jason.
Yes.
I mean, it didn't sell or make any money, but we're really proud of it. And
we are. I'm chuffed a bit to be on it and to be asked to be on it as well. And we recorded
great drum
it.
Track on it.
I'm very pleased with the way that turned out.
It's one of those songs where I know we talked about re-recording it. I think best left alone. But if anyone out there does want to pay us to go into Abbey Road or something, we would always we would say yes.
I think we would. It's interesting to note that prior to recording all that, that having said earlier that I'd sold all my drums but kept the snare and the hi-hat,
that's right,
and the hardware and the cymbals, it then became very apparent to me that I really needed to get another drum kit.
Because you were using Jason's studio kit.
I was
at the
using
time.
The Spam.
It was like a Millennium quite a good quality set of drums.
After I'd said to him, I think you find that Tom Tom's upside down.
Oh, really?
And he went, oh, I didn't realise that.
You changed all the heads on it, didn't you?
All the heads, put nice Remo pinstripes on, and it just transformed the sound.
It sounded great, actually. Yeah, it sounded very good.
Yes, it did.
And we must mention at this stage as well, another good friend and musician on the island was Paolo Scarpa.
Yes.
Who engineered it all.
He was, and great engineer.
And a great guitar player, singer,
absolutely,
musician.
We've seen him so many times, and he's a dear friend.
And if you come to the island, they are called Wanderlust.
Yes.
And he plays with his... I think it's his partner. Her name is Gemma.
Yep.
Wonderful singer. Absolutely. They play all over the island. I am trying to promote Menorca because it's a wonderful place to come.
It's full of very talented musicians.
It really is.
We've only touched on a few.
Yeah, we really have.
I've seen the Mercadale Young Orchestra.
Yeah.
I've seen them play in the square in Mercadale. There's a stage there already. It's built. It's purpose built.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just wander into the square, sit down and watch these talented youngsters.
They're knocking it out. Another great musician. As we're on the Menorca episode,
absolutely,
we've obviously got Ken, the Living the Dream Band were a great fun band. They were a bunch of older guys, but they made a good racket together. And I actually did a season with them.
Yes, you did.
Playing guitar.
Yes, you did. We used to see them many, many times.
The late John on bass.
Yeah.
Fantastic guy.
Lovely guy. He missed.
A couple of years gone now, I think. In November, I think it was.
Yeah.
Our good mate Ken, obviously, on drums. Lovely guy. Harry Simmons, the singer.
And of course, Harry Simmons. What a great singer.
What a voice. Yeah.
Just the best rock and roll voice you've ever heard, really.
And Peter Armand, keyboards.
Yep.
And I think they've gone... I mean, they were like the band... that I always likened them a little bit to John Mayall's Blues Breakers, because every year they had a different guitarist.
Yes, it. That's it.
I had a good season with them. It was good fun.
It was fun. We came to see him many times.
Yeah, I think we did something like 74 gigs between May and October. And I at the end of it, I was ready to... And I had to go back to work.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, Jesus, I can't do that.
Can't do both.
No. So when we recorded Do It All Again, we released it. And then we did another song after that. Again, me and Jason got together. Mm-hmm. What's the inspiration for this? And actually, Mick had mentioned at some stage to me, or I think to Jason, you ought to write a song... Because it was that year where we lost so many talented people,
yes,
didn't we?
Indeed.
We lost Prince,
David Bowie, I think.
David
was
Bowie, yeah. Glenn Frey from the Eagles.
Yeah.
We also lost a guy who we'd got to know on the island, whose name was Steve Bird.
Steve Bird, great guitarist.
Great guitarist.
He played with, didn't he play with Bowie?
I think he did a stint with Deep Purple, David Coverdale, I think, or the other singer. Who was the original singer from Deep Purple? It'll come to me.
It'll come.
And he was Kim Wilde's guitarist. And
yes,
he actually
was it.
He wrote quite a lot of her music as well. Mm-hmm. I think he wrote two or three songs. And then we did two or three gigs with him. Lovely guy. Mm. And then we heard he had an heart attack and died. And it was
that was a shock.
It really was. Mm. But the band I was going to mention was Joe Mena's band, the Gentleman Jacks.
Yeah. Oh.
Now, they probably, I think, are the best band on the island.
I totally agree.
Fantastic. They're
just such a pleasure to watch and listen to.
Yeah, really, lovely really guys. Good.
And Joe Mena especially.
Joe
is
and,
just a real dear friend to us all.
Great drummer. And, great young
great drummer. Bass player. And his bass playing is exceptional.
Joe's,
wonderful.
Yeah. Nacho Olivar, I think his name is
a
guitarist.
That's
what a guitar player he is.
Incredible.
It's like listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yes, it is.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you say, we've got a lot of talent on the island and fantastic food, fantastic beaches.
The most beaches, I think, of any of the islands in the Balearics,
they say. Almost like the same amount as some of the Caribbean islands,
something
I think.
Like that, yeah.
And if you're a very family-orientated island...
beaches are all safe for your young children.
Yeah, very small, 67 kilometres from end to end, I think it is, isn't it?
Something like that.
So everything's close.
I probably know it in old money, about 35 miles.
And great, great menus, great places to eat. Couldn't recommend it. For family, it's the place to come.
It certainly is.
Yeah, and I mean, my kids, we obviously live here, but they have the freedom that I would have had as a child in England that I probably don't think they'd have now if we lived there by
That's
a long
true.
Jog.
You wouldn't let them out quite so much as I think as you probably do.
No. So, trying to just veer back into Zombies world.
Okay.
Around this period, I think it was 2016, you did play the Palladium in London, didn't you?
We did.
And that was a big deal, wasn't it, at the time?
It was a pretty big deal. I mean, not everybody gets to play the Palladium.
No.
So it was a total honour and just a sheer pleasure. And what was beautiful was so many of my friends here, yourself and many others.
I think the top tier was full of Menorca, wasn't it?
But Menorca was empty those few days.
And my wife surprised me because I was coming back with Jason and you and everybody else and Kim turned up, which was lovely.
Yeah, she's done that before. And
she has.
And she's done it again.
Yeah.
Fairly recently.
Yeah. Fantastic gig, by the way. That was the night where I sat with our good friend Richard Guyatt.
Right.
And I mean, Richard likes a chat. I didn't hear him speak for the entire show. And he said to me afterwards, never heard someone sing like Colin. He said, I could not believe the power of his voice. Yeah, and I have to say, it is incredible. He's still all in the original key still,
isn't
it?
It's astonishing. He sings all the songs in the original key.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you that, he said, oh, Rod's written another song for me now in this key. I said, he doesn't seem to want to write them in a lower key for me. He said, if I'm up for it, and the only way he does it is he's cut back on the alcohol. I don't think he'll mind me saying that.
No.
And he exercises his voice before every gig. He's got a cassette or a little CD.
He wanders off, doesn't he?
He wanders off, yeah. And it sounds irksome.
Yeah.
But you think if that's keeping his voice like it is, then so be it.
Well, I mean, another musician. There's a band called Livingston. They were a biggish band very big band from South Africa, based in South Africa. And Biricus, who's a good friend of mine now, got friendly with him and his wife and their children. He was the singer from that band. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to him about that. And he said, I did the same. I would go off. He said, I knew, 40 minutes to showtime, I'd wander off, cassette, or probably not a cassette, but MP3, pair of headphones. He said, and the other members would wonder what the hell I was doing because of the noises and stretching your lips and blowing. And
yeah, exactly what Colin does.
Which I have to say, for me singing in our band, I don't do any of that. I just ask for a beer.
Just have another beer.
Yeah, Australia Galicia, please, yeah. But so the Palladium, I think, it was a sold out, wasn't it?
Yep,
it was
sold out.
There wasn't a seat available.
No, sold out.
And I remember, if I remember right, that was about October time. That was when we came back here, and then Jason announced that I think we're going to go back to the UK. Mm. And that was when the band, sort of, we didn't implode, But that's when we formed the Geckos as a trio, and we had Richard Guyatt singing with us.
Yes.
Still playing full band, but we went from keyboards, guitar, bass to just guitar, bass, drums,
guitar, bass, drums, didn't we?
And he played a bit of harmonica as well, didn't he?
He did, yes.
And that lasted probably a year or two, didn't it? We did some big gigs.
Yeah.
And then Richard, I think as always, bands have a lifespan, don't they? It fizzled out. He was still doing his own thing as well. Richard, you know, he does an evening on his own, and he sings all the swing stuff and the Frank Sinatra, and he does a fantastic job. And we decided, I think you actually said, I reckon you could play bass and sing.
Mm.
And I said, oh, no, I don't think I could do that. And now here we are. We're now the Geckos Trio.
The Geckos Trio, doing really nicely.
Yeah, and I love it. It's I think it's reliable. It's fun. There's no egos.
Crumbs, no.
There is just, we all take the mickey out of each other.
Absolutely. It's just a laugh from beginning to end.
And it's
but we take it seriously, don't get me
very
wrong.
Very seriously, but we, you know, warts and all, we make cock-ups here and there, don't we? Because everybody does.
Of course.
And it's all right, you know.
Yeah, even your Eric Claptons and people like that.
I know, I've read somewhere that they actually, one band used to put them in on purpose. Then an occasional mistake, because it made you look more human and then more in touch with the audience.
Yeah,
we don't put them in on purpose.
No, we don't. We just do them.
And our good mate Mick is back from Japan in about a month's time.
Yes, he's back just before I'm myself back from a month away.
So any more news on the documentary release?
I haven't any at the moment.
I think there is an online, you can book like an early bird ticket to watch it. I know Jason sent me a link.
Yes, I think you can.
So if you want to, you know, you can buy a ticket in advance, you can watch it the day it comes out.
Mm.
And I probably will do that because I do feel like I need to see it.
Yes, you should.
Of course, I will. I know I will. I'd love to see it on a big screen.
It's great on a big screen.
Yeah.
Now that it's had the sound finalised and the colour corrections are all done and everything, and it really is.
It pops out of the screen.
It does. It's beautiful. I mean, who gets a film or a documentary, and at the end of it, the audience stands up and applauds. Standing ovation.
Amazing.
I mean, that's just amazing.
And I do think that it won't happen here.
A quick story about that, and I think you find this quite amusing. We gathered in the upstairs in the lobby, one thing another, and everybody said, right, it's time to go into the auditorium now, and you guys, you have to all sit together.
Right.
And we thought, that's fair enough.
Okay.
And I remember thinking to myself, I should ought to have gone for a little precautionary. And I didn't, but I sat down. And, of course, the documentary is, what is it, an hour and a half, 2 hours or something. And, of course, it became more apparent that I was really feeling the
need to
feeling the need to go. So that, at the end, as I said, there was the standing ovation. They said, right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a question and answer situation now.
Yeah.
So if the guys can come down on the stage. And I thought, I'm not going to get a chance here. And so I remember standing in the question and answer thinking, I really need to go.
You'd have thought that someone would have had the foresight that people might need to use the loo after that, really,
well,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, especially us old chaps.
And and drinking water and stuff. And
exactly.
It's I'm looking at the Deep Purple, because it was one of the questions we just came across.
Mm-hmm.
His name was the singer that Steve Bird formed a band with. The singer was, what was his name? Ian Pace was a drummer. Ian Gillan.
That was it, Ian Gillan.
And he was in Gillan. The band after Deep Purple, Steve Bird was in them for about five
Deep
years,
Purple.
I think.
Who was the keyboard player in Deep Purple?
Was John Lord, wasn't it?
It was John Lord, but then later on it was some other chappy whose name...
Don Airey.
That's it.
Yeah.
Not Don Airey. Don Airey.
Yeah.
His brother played with Colin in the touring band for quite some time, Keith Airey.
Yeah.
He was the guitarist for them for a good time before Tom.
So he was the guitarist we couldn't think of last week that joined you at the Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Absolutely. That was Keith Airey.
There we go. We killed two birds with one stone.
We did indeed. And Don Airey joined a band with Colin. When he started singing back out live again, it was with Don Airey.
When Rod decided he was writing and producing
and stuff
like that.
Absolutely right.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're
we're
at the stage where I don't know how long we've been on for again.
Nope. But it's been lovely.
Yes. Next episode, I think, what do we touch on next? We're almost at the stage where you... When did you...
Well, we haven't touched on, of course, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, that's probably the next episode.
That can be a...
Because that was 2019.
I do remember that.
Was that... So it was just before COVID,
yep.
Was it?
Yep, we got in just in the nick of time.
That's right, February, March time, wasn't it?
March time, like I think it might have been, yeah.
Because we can talk about... We will do on the episode, because it was... You'd been nominated about four times, hadn't
we
you?
We had.
And finally, 2019, you were nominated.
And I'd tell all the stories... Got some great stories.
Yeah. All right. So that's episode 6. But it won't be next week because you're away.
I'm away. Yeah. So there may be a little gap between.
Yeah. There may be. That might be our last one because.
It brings us pretty much up to date.
It does, doesn't it?
As far as my time with the zombies, of course.
Because we've touched on the documentary, really, although it was not chronologically in order, because obviously the Hall of Fame came before that.
It did.
So maybe we'll do one last bonus episode.
That's it.
Where we'll talk about the Hall of Fame, and we'll touch on maybe by then, another month down the road, we might know a bit more about the documentary and release dates and
absolutely.
And what you're back to the UK for family stuff, Easter.
Yeah,
and...
we're doing Easter with my daughters down in Cornwall, where one of them lives.
Very nice.
And then we have the real bonus of a nice cruise with one of the people we mentioned right in the first episode, whose name we.
Mr. Guy Walton
and Jill, and we're going on a little river cruise with them.